This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
And good evening. Kevin McCullough, Radio Night Live, normally the broadcast that you hear. Normally you hear me talking about all kinds of news and current events of the day and what's going on in the world around us. Well, this weekend, it's Holy Weekend, the Saturday night between Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. And so tonight we're presenting a very special production from my friends at the organization called Unlocking the Bible that tells the very dramatic story of the man who betrayed Jesus, Judas Iscariot, what it cost him in his soul, and what he would say to us if he had the chance to. We continue from hour number one with chapter five, and the chapter is simply titled Decision. From heaven, so near, so far.
Chapter 5. Decision. Over the next 4 days, I thought carefully about my position. I decided that the time was right for me to make my move. Slipping away from the other disciples, I made my way to the palace of the high priest. When I knocked, a servant named Malchus came to the door. I told him that I had information that would be highly prized by his master, that it concerned Jesus, and that I was ready to make a deal. "What is this information about Jesus that you think would be of interest to us?" I decided to answer their question with one of my own. "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" They looked at each other with surprise and obvious interest. Ignoring my question about the money, they focused on clarifying the offer I had just made. One of them repeated my words slowly so that each of them seemed to hang in the air. "You can deliver him to us?" "Yes," I said. "How will you do that?" "I will need a full cohort of soldiers, and they will need to be armed," I said. "I will lead you to where he will be, and I can identify him for you, so you will be sure there is no mistake." I could see they were sold on my proposal and knew it was time to close the deal. "So, how much will you give me?" I asked. 30 pieces of silver. My face drained and my blood ran cold. 30 pieces of silver was the kind of money you paid for a common slave. I was stunned by this lowball offer. I was about to demand a higher price when it hit me. I was trapped. By going to the priests, I had exposed myself as one of Jesus' circle. If I walked away, I would be a marked man. And at some point, when they finally caught up with Jesus, they would have it in for me. Besides, I was alone in the house of the high priest, and no one knew where I was. They had the power to arrest me, and if that had been their choice, I would have disappeared without a trace. I arrived confident that the initiative was in my hands. I left knowing that the power was in theirs. Having begun with thoughts of making my fortune, I quickly realized that my priority was simply to survive. So, without commenting on their insulting offer, I simply said, "Fine." I left the palace, and once in the street, breathed a huge sigh of relief. After making the deal, the last thing I wanted was to rejoin Jesus and the disciples. The more you enter into sympathy with the enemies of Jesus, the less you have in common with his friends. But to fulfill the promise I had made to the priests, I needed to know Jesus' movements, and for that reason I went back to join him for what proved to be his Last Supper. When the time came for us to take our places at the table, Jesus motioned to John to sit on his right, and then, to my great surprise, he invited me to sit on his left. Taking his place at the head of the table, Jesus became visibly troubled. "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." a sense of shock descended on the whole group, and realizing the danger of the moment, I did my best not to react, except to share their sense of astonishment. Thankfully, reclining immediately next to Jesus, I was hidden from his line of sight as he looked down the table. As usual, Peter was the first to break the silence. "Lord, is it I?" he asked. Jesus made no answer. Then John asked the same question. "Lord, is it I?" The question seemed to move around the circle. James, Thomas, Andrew, and Matthew, each of them wanting to know if he was the one, but Jesus made no answer. Two things struck me. First, no one asked, "Is it Judas?" That reassured me. Second, they all seemed to feel that they had it in them to let their Lord down. Knowing the corruption of their own hearts, none of them felt that treachery was beyond them. Then, Jesus said some words that have stayed with me ever since. "Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Distracted by this thought for a moment, I snapped back into reality and realized that I would draw attention to myself if I did not join the others in asking, "Lord, is it I?" So wanting to make sure that I was not the last to ask, I touched Jesus on his shoulder and whispered in his ear, "Is it I, Rabbi?" With Jesus making no response to any of the others, no one was paying attention when I asked my question, and the answer Jesus gave to me was spoken so softly that only I could have heard it. Turning toward me and speaking just a few inches from my ear, Jesus replied, "You have said so." A few moments later, Bartholomew raised his voice from the far end of the table and asked, "Lord, is it I?" This was the eighth time that the same question had been asked, and as far as the other disciples were aware, Jesus had made no response. The thought of the other four all asking the same question was too much for Peter, so he cut to the chase and he motioned to John, who was sitting to the right of Jesus, "Ask him who it is." Fear gripped me. I knew why Peter was asking. Jesus had said that someone in the room was about to betray him, and Peter wanted to know who it was so that he could deal with the problem by eliminating that person. When I arrived at supper, I had noticed two swords, one of them Peter's, ominously placed in the corner of the room. I knew that if at that moment Jesus had said to John, "Tell Peter it is Judas," Peter would have drawn his sword and run me through right then and there. I held my breath as John leaned back against Jesus and asked, "Who is it, Lord?" Jesus answered so softly that no one other than John to his right and I to his left could hear the answer. "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." Then Jesus dipped the bread and, turning around, offered it to me. When a host offered bread, it was a sign of friendship. And as Jesus extended his hand, I felt his love reaching out to me again. For a fleeting moment, the thought occurred to me that I could say to him, "Jesus, I have something to confess. I have felt the pull of evil. I have been stealing money from the bag. I have made a deal with the priests and taken money to betray you. Please have mercy on me." But I steeled myself against this thought, and remaining silent, I took the bread he offered. As I ate the bread, I knew I had crossed another line. But I was strengthened by a resolve that seemed to come on me at critical moments in my journey. I felt it first when I had gone to the priests, and I felt it again as I took the morsel of bread from Jesus. Looking back, I now see that Satan launched a relentless assault on my soul. If that makes you feel sorry for me, please spare me your pity. Satan seeks the destruction of every follower of Jesus, and his assaults on me were no different from what he attempts with any other disciple. Satan, can only enter a person's life when that person opens the door. I had opened my life to the enemy through my persistent refusal to repent, and Satan entered through the door I had opened. Every time I sinned and refused to confess, my sin acquired greater power over my soul until in the end I lost all trace of the desire I once had known to follow after Jesus. What you are going to do, do quickly, Jesus said to me. There was no doubt about his meaning. I had made my decision, and Jesus was dismissing me from the room. I got up and left without looking back. Now I was outside the circle, excluded, no longer welcome. To hell with it, I thought. They don't want me, and I don't want them. I walked out into the night, knowing that I was finally done with Jesus.
Well, would he be? That's an ominous decision, certainly sounds like one, that we will examine further as Judas Iscariot continues telling his story of heaven so near so far. If you'd like more information, please check out unlockingthebible.org. They are the ones that have produced this fabulous production for us.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Bitcoin is losing crypto market share to other digital currencies. Bitcoin's astronomical rise has led to the creation of numerous competitors like Ethereum, Ripple, and Litecoin, which have also seen massive gains in value. According to Quartz, Bitcoin made up 85% of the crypto market 1 year ago, and today it has fallen to 36%. Remember, the only way to win in the casino is to take chips off the table. Call Miles Franklin at 866-485-4346 and let us show you how to quickly turn your Bitcoin into the 5,000-year-old safety of precious metals. Miles Franklin can quickly convert your Bitcoin to precious metals with one phone call at 866-485-4346. That's Miles Franklin celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Fast, easy, safe, and convert your Bitcoin into gold with one phone call.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
Welcome back to Radio Night Live, live from New York. Kevin McCullough, thrilled to have you with us. And as we told you last week with Pastor Heidi McGinnis, who had joined us, we are hoping you will help us liberate some human slaves from northern Sudan. The cost is very simple, $250 to give one human being permanent freedom for life through CSI International. It's 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And we're grateful that CSI is helping us bring to you this special presentation tonight, Heaven So Near So Far, from Unlocking the Bible and the story of Judas Iscariot. Again, if you can help liberate one human life tonight, 888-342-1010, that's 888-342-1010. Now, Chapter 6 of Heaven So Near So Far, Defection.
Chapter 6, Defection. My time in the upper room was well spent because now I had all the information I needed to fulfill my promise to the priests. Armed with the knowledge of where Jesus would soon be, I made my way across the city to the high priest's palace. Again, it was Malchus who opened the door. "Round up the men," I said. My plan was meticulous. I thought of everything. If the disciples resisted Jesus' arrest, we were armed with swords and clubs. If Jesus chose to hide in the garden, we had torches and lanterns and would search until we found him. Our force was overwhelming in numbers and strength, and without the presence of the crowd to protect him, I was certain that our mission would end in success. When everyone was gathered, Malchus called the group to order. He reminded them of the importance of our mission, and then invited me to give instructions. "We are heading to the Garden of Gethsemane," I said. "Jesus will be there with his 11 disciples. Apart from them, the place should be deserted." A nod and grunt of approval went around the group. "When I kiss him," I continued, "you must arrest him immediately. No delays. And when you seize him, make sure that you hold him securely. Whatever you do, don't underestimate him. I have seen him still a storm and even raise the dead." Some of the Roman soldiers at the back seemed to find this amusing. Here we were, a great crowd, fully armed, setting out on a mission to arrest one man who had the support of no more than 11 friends. The size of the force and the intensity of my instructions seemed ludicrous to the professionals, who must have wondered why we were mounting what seemed like a major operation to accomplish something so apparently simple. But then, they didn't know Jesus. With our preparations complete, we set out. Jew and Gentile united together, the power of religion and the power of the state, moving as one with the objective of arresting and binding Jesus. It was an overwhelming force, and I was leading them. Me, Judas Iscariot, the one who was always named last among the disciples. Now I was at the front, striding out with a vast armed force behind me, all of them following my lead. My moment had finally come. When we arrived at Gethsemane, I could see the disciples scattered across the garden. It looked to me as if they had been sleeping and were still in the process of getting to their feet. What took me by surprise was that Jesus came striding toward us. I had thought that I would have to seek him out, but instead, he stepped forward resolutely from the trees as if to confront us. "Whom do you seek?" he demanded. His question was addressed to Malchus. This was not what I had expected. I had told the priests that I would go up to Jesus and kiss him, but Jesus had seized the initiative, and now I was unsure of how to proceed. Malchus responded to the question, "Whom do we seek?" "Jesus of Nazareth," he said. What happened next was quite extraordinary and wholly unexpected. Jesus said, "I am he."
As he said this, we were overwhelmed by a blinding flash of light.
It was so intense that our entire army, the priests, Pharisees, elders, and Roman soldiers, along with Malchus and myself, collapsed on the ground as if we had all been struck by a bolt of lightning. I felt rather foolish lying there in the dust, and looking up could see the surprise of the disciples. After a few moments, I got up and brushed the dust from my clothing. Behind me, the temple guards picked up their torches, lanterns, swords, and clubs, and behind them, the Roman cohort slowly got to their feet. None of them were laughing now. When we were all back on our feet, Jesus repeated his question, "Whom do you seek?" Somewhat shaken, Malchus replied as he had before, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "Rabbi," I said as I moved toward him. Before I could reach him, he responded with a question that still haunts me. "Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" Even in the garden, as I was about to betray him, Jesus was reaching out to me in love. It was as if he were saying, "Do you really want to do this, Judas?" I hesitated for a moment, but I had passed the point of no return. Ignoring his last plea, I took that final step forward and kissed him. That kiss was the most futile thing I ever did. I had thought of it as the centerpiece of my elaborate plan, but it accomplished nothing except to confirm my defection from being a follower of Jesus. The armed force was equally futile. I had brought an army of several hundred men, but in truth a single arresting officer would have been enough. Turning to the priests, elders, and Pharisees, Jesus said, "Have you come out as against a robber, with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." With this, Jesus stepped forward, presenting his wrists so they could bind him. And as he did, the disciples ran off into the night. I recalled how Jesus had said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." Jesus was not arrested as a helpless victim. He gave himself willingly into the hands of his enemies. The group I had been leading took Jesus to the high priest's palace. But once they had their man, they had no further use for me. And since the disciples had already fled, I was left alone in the garden.
Truly a man without a country, nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, no group of people to turn to, no home, no fellow brethren anymore. Truly a guy that had turned his back on everything in his life, and his new friends had turned their back on him. So where does he go from here? What happens? That is in the final portions of the life of Judas Iscariot, as we will hear from him as he continues to tell his story of heaven so near so far. If you'd like more information about the book that this audio presentation is based on, my friends at Unlocking the Bible have a copy for you at their website, unlockingthebible.org, Heaven So Near So Far, and also this audio presentation, which we are airing in an abridged version tonight. You can get the full presentation at unlockingthebible.org. I'm Calvin McCullough. This is Radio Night Live, very special Holy Weekend edition.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutriMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutriMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. NutriMedical.com for the whole family.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 33 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 33 to 443-443. That's BEST 33 to 443-443.
Hi, Kevin McCullough back with you tonight, Radio Night Live, as we are counting down towards the end of the special edition that we have prepared for you. I'm so grateful for Pastor Colin S. Smith of the Orchard Network in the Chicago area in his book, and then the team at Unlocking the Bible presenting this dramatic presentation of the story of Judas Iscariot, a ubiquitous character. People pretty much know what a Judas kiss is across the world when you say that phrase. And yet, it was one of the costliest things that he ever decided to do, as we are hearing in this dramatic telling of his story. And so we pick up the story of Judas as he continues his sorrow after the betrayal of Jesus. But was he really regretful for the right thing? The chapter is called Contrition, as we pick up the story. Judas reevaluating what he has done and wondering if he had made the right decision. Here he picks it up.
Chapter 7. Contrition. I had been picturing a scene of celebration, in which with Jesus under arrest I would receive a hero's welcome in the palace of the high priest. The reality was very different. Left alone in the garden, I settled down under some trees in the vain hope of getting some sleep. Over and over, the events that had just transpired played out in my mind. When I closed my eyes, the blinding light that had knocked us on the ground flashed across my mind. I remembered that Jesus had warned us, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Could that bolt of lightning have been the glory of the Father breaking out from Jesus? I left the garden, made my way into the city, and headed for the home of Pontius Pilate. When I arrived, I saw the same priests, elders, and Pharisees I had led a few hours before. They were gathered outside Pilate's residence, and Pilate himself was standing at the gate with them. Though I stayed hidden behind the delegation, I managed to get close enough to hear what was being said. "What accusation do you bring against this man?" Pilate asked. I could tell he was irritated, which wasn't surprising given he had been awakened in the night. "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you," said one of the priests. Pilate was a shrewd man, and he quickly realized that the priest's dispute with Jesus was most likely a religious one, belonging to their jurisdiction rather than his. "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law," Pilate said. That forced the priests to get to the point. "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," they said. Realizing that they needed to bring a charge that would engage Pilate's interest, the priests advanced a new accusation. "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king," they said. Pilate looked skeptical. My guess was that he saw this as a local matter, and he wasn't at all convinced that he should have been bothered in the night. After questioning Jesus in the presence of the priests, Pilate announced that he found no charge to bring against him. But the priests pressed their case more urgently. "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place," they said. But Pilate was in no mood for being pushed around. Convening the chief priests together, he reviewed what had happened. "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people," he said, "and after examining him before you, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Nothing deserving death has been done by him." Then Pilate came up with a proposal that he thought would finally settle the issue. It had become a tradition that during the Passover, Pilate would release a prisoner chosen by popular demand. Since the choice was in the hands of the people, he brought out Barabbas, a prisoner whose violence was so notorious that nobody in their right mind would want him back on their streets. In a stroke of genius, he asked the crowd to choose between Barabbas and Jesus. I thought for a moment that Jesus would go free. Surely no one would request the release of Barabbas. But the chief priests and the elders moved quickly through the crowd, persuading the people to ask for Barabbas and call for the crucifixion of Jesus. By the time the governor repeated his question, the crowd was calling for Barabbas. Clearly taken by surprise, Pilate asked, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" At this, the whole crowd shouted as one, "Let him be crucified!" Pilate pressed the crowd, "Why? What evil has he done?" But this incited the crowd even more, and I could see the governor had the makings of a riot on his hands. He brought out a bowl of water, and rather pretentiously washed his hands as an indication that he was having nothing further to do with the case. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said.
What happens next? Stay with us on Radio Night Live.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 6th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, June 1st through the 4th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, UFO sightings, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact. This amazing weekend offers more than 50 lectures, 40 workshops, 8 exciting panels, and special events. Contact in the Desert features leading experts, including me, George Norrie, Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton-Howe, Michael Tellinger, Eric Von Doniken, Corey Good, Doc Wallach, and many more important researchers and scientists in the field. With a breaking New York Times story, disclosure of the Pentagon's mysterious UFO program, Contact in the Desert is the place to go to see the inside track. Join us at contactinthedesert.com or call 760-660-8484. That's contactinthedesert.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Hey, this is Ricky from Banyan Hill. You like freedom? I do. You like money? I do too. You like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right. $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can, too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by May 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com before May 1st. That's www.AmericanFreedomChecks.com.
Kevin McCullough back for Radio Night Live. Let's pick up the story right where we left off, the middle of Chapter 7 in Heaven So Near So Far, the story of Judas in his own words.
Eventually, Pilate appeared. "I am bringing him out to you," he said, "that you may know I find no guilt in him." I froze with shock as Jesus was dragged out by two soldiers and paraded in front of the people. His face was so bloodied and bruised that he was barely recognizable. A mock crown made with branches from a thorn bush twisted together had been pressed into his head, and a faded purple robe had been draped over his body, lampooning the claim that he was a king.
"Behold the man,"
Pilate said with a dramatic sweep of his hand.
"Do it now,"
I said to myself. "This is the moment." Call in the Legion of Angels. Heal your own wounds. Throw Pilate and this entire crowd to the ground by unveiling your glory as you did in the garden. But none of that happened. It seemed clear to me that having already been pushed beyond what he thought was right and having Jesus flogged, Pilate would allow himself to be pushed no further and was determined to release Jesus. But the crowd became even stronger in its resolve. Someone stepped forward and shouted, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend." The crowd roared in approval and called again for Jesus to be crucified. Pilate was getting nowhere. He faced a choice between appeasing the crowd and risking a full-scale riot. I waited to see his next move. Pilate sat down and pronounced the judgment that for the last few hours he had been trying to avoid. Jesus of Nazareth is sentenced to death by crucifixion. When I saw that Jesus had been condemned, I knew that my last hope of being released from the effects of what I had done was gone. As I listened to Pilate's repeated assertion that Jesus had done nothing wrong, I wondered what had made me think I was right to betray him. To my surprise, no offense came to mind. I had betrayed him because his agenda did not align with mine. I realized that I had played a part in the most heinous of crimes, shedding innocent blood. A wave of contrition overwhelmed me. I was seized with regret, and I knew what I had to do. I must confess. I must take ownership for the wrong I have done. I must tell the priests that Pilate was right. Jesus had done nothing wrong, and I have been involved in a great miscarriage of justice. What I had done could not be undone. My sin was irreversible, and restitution was impossible. But I had to disassociate myself from what I had done. So as Jesus was led out of the city to the hill where the Romans executed their victims, I made my way back to the house of the high priest. As I walked, I felt the weight of the 30 pieces of silver in my tunic. The money felt filthy to me, and I was desperate to get rid of it. By the time I arrived at the temple, it was about the third hour after sunrise. By that time, Jesus would have arrived at the place of execution, and they would be nailing him to the cross. I tried to put that out of my mind and focus on the matter at hand. I had to find a priest. I needed to confess. I longed for absolution. Eventually, a small group of elders and priests came to the temple door. They seemed surprised to see me and did not invite me in. "I have sinned," I said, "by betraying innocent blood." Before I could continue my confession, one of the elders cut me off. "What is that to us?" he said. I was about to point out they were priests, that I was carrying an unbearable burden of guilt, and that hearing confession was part of the work. But I could see that as far as they were concerned, our conversation was over. I was on my own. It dawned on me. These priests have nothing to offer me that will help me deal with my sins. They have blood on their own hands as well. I no longer wanted them or their money. Taking the bag from my tunic, I threw the silver I'd been paid into the temple. As the open bag landed, the coins scattered on the stone floor, and without any further word, I turned my back on them and walked away in disgust. Words that Jesus had spoken pounded through my mind as I made my way out of the city. Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. I was that man. I wished I had never been born. The Messiah I had always believed would be the light and hope of our people, but I had put out that light, and now I was without hope. Having conspired with others in a crime for which restitution could not be made, I now carried a burden of guilt that no priest and no prayers could relieve. I remembered how Jesus had said to that paralyzed man lowered through the roof, "Your sins are forgiven." At the time, I thought the miracle of his getting up to walk was the greater gift. But as I made my way from the temple, I would have given anything to hear the voice of Jesus say, "Your sins are forgiven." But he was gone. And now, that seemed impossible. With the weight of my own folly pressing down on me, I made my way to a piece of property I had bought some time before with money taken from the common purse. It was a small field on a high ridge bordered by a cliff that dropped down to an open expanse below, and at the edge of the cliff there was a tree. Having fixed a rope to a branch of that tree, I looked up at the sun and realized it must have been about midday. And to my complete astonishment, everything was plunged into darkness. I had never seen anything like this before, and feeling certain that this must be the judgment of God, I jumped from the ledge on which I was standing. The last thing I remember was the sound of the branch to which I had tied the rope breaking. I fell into the darkness, and I feel that I have been falling ever since.
The ominous pain that Judas felt in rejecting Jesus, betraying him. What happens? And what would he tell us from the other side of eternity today if he had the chance to talk to us one-on-one? The three lessons he's learned when we finish out Radio Night Live's presentation of Heaven So Near So Far.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. This
discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
So grateful that Radio Online Live has been able to present to you Heaven So Near So Far. Kevin McCullough saying thank you for being here. And now Chapter 8, simply titled Conclusion.
When I first met Jesus, I was drawn to Him. When I prayed, I was sincere. When I preached, I believed what I was saying. But having started out as a disciple, I turned back and abandoned the faith I had once professed. Giving up on Jesus was my downfall. But that choice was the outcome of other choices and patterns that shaped the person I became. Of these, there are three that are always on my mind. First, looking back on my life as a disciple, I can see that I was all about myself. I followed Jesus because I thought that attaching myself to Him might give me a shot at making my mark in the world. Those who try to use Him to fulfill their own agenda always sell out on Him in the end. Second, I opened up my life to Satan without realizing the destructive power he would wield over my soul. This began when I first stole money from the bag. I knew it was wrong, but I suppressed my conscience and carried on. And as I did, it was easier for me to shut out his voice until in the end, I became completely unresponsive to his love. Third, though I became contrite, I never pursued repentance. Yes, I went to the priests and made a full confession, telling them plainly that I had sinned. Repentance is more than being sorry for what you've done. At its heart, it involves looking to Jesus and finding forgiveness in Him. Regret leads a person to look inward and despair. Repentance leads a person to look upward and find hope. Attempting to use Jesus as a means to an end, opening my life to the power of Satan, and indulging regret without pursuing repentance were all signs that I would not end up in heaven. But if you ask me to tell you in a single phrase why I am in hell, I say again, it was because I gave up on Jesus. And here's why I say that. If, like the other disciples, I had remained a follower of Jesus, all of these other failings could have been forgiven. My selfish heart could have been changed. Satan's power in my life could have been broken, and instead of remaining in the misery of regret, I could have found in Jesus the gift of repentance. But my choices led me in a different direction. Looking back on my years as a follower of Jesus, I have arrived at this firm conclusion. The claims of Jesus are so exclusive and His demands so pervasive that if you do not give yourself to Him completely, you will, in the end, give Him up altogether. There is no middle ground. Only those who have never known Jesus can remain indifferent to Him. Once you get close, the only alternatives are to fully love Him or to finally loathe Him.
And the question that Judas poses to us today is, what will you choose? I'm Kevin McCullough. Personally, I choose to love Jesus. I realize that not everybody is in that same spot, so I bear no judgment on you for not. But I invite you to this weekend. I'm Kevin McCullough. Have a blessed Easter. We'll see you.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.